Why, hello and welcome. Welcome to the Peer Pressure Podcast. I am Diane, sometimes known as Diane Kamikaze, and I am your host. The reason why I do this podcast is because I am a champion of heavy music. I've always found my favorite songs since I was a young kid had riffs, hooks, were either metal, hardcore, hard rock, or punk, or something fairly aggressive in attitude and sound. And I am all about appreciating the people that keep that world going, whether they're musicians, webmasters, other podcasters, record label and festival owners. It's important to me to recognize what these people do in that realm of music. So, I am here to bring them to you in a different context, more than a Wikipedia entry or a press release, a little more personal and a lot more fun. I'm a rocker for life, and I hope these episodes do make a difference. Send me feedback at diane@wfmu.org, and my Facebook page is Diane Kamikaze Farris, Rocker for Life. Like my page there, and I will keep everybody updated on podcast episodes in that space. Thanks so much for listening, and stay tuned. Today, we're going back to a special program from 2012 featuring Julie Christmas of Made Out of Babies and Battle of Mice. The show she presented was covers, sometimes doing pairing them up with the original, sometimes just a couple of covers. And I have included some snippets of songs. I'm breaking this up into two parts simply because even hearing just snippets of the songs is really pretty choice. So thank you to Julie. And Julie can be found on Bandcamp and Facebook. Julie Christmas, spelled just like the holiday. Please stay tuned. Julie, can you speak to me?
Hello, everybody. This is Julie.
Julie is here.
It's my radio voice.
And oh, you have a radio voice. I'm glad you came prepared with a radio voice. And so we heard Headless Hawks, followed by I Just Destroyed the World, off of your record called The Bad Wife.
Uh-huh.
And what would you like to tell me about that record and that cover especially?
The Bad Wife was not ever really intended to be released. It was sort of, the album started as just kind of a way to play something that was a little bit different from what I was playing at the time, which was all pretty heavy stuff. It was mm-hmm. like we were recording the third Made Out of Babies record and working on some other projects that were very screamy, and I sort of started wanting to play something that was a little bit more laid back or different from stuff I normally played, and we started playing around with some songs, including I Just Destroyed the World, which is actually a Willie Nelson cover.
Yes.
Everybody should hear the original, but I can't write a song like that, so I have to cover it. And I did it with the guys that I worked with on that record are John from Candiria, one of my oldest and dearest friends, and Andrew Schneider, who just opened Translator Audio in Brooklyn, has been doing engineering and like Unsane and Keel Hall for 20 years. And
wow,
he plays bass on that. And let's see, Mel Lederman, plays with Talia Zadek. I don't know.
From Come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually have some of her tapes. I like to
tapes.
Yeah, I have a tape of hers. And just like a bunch of different musicians on each song. On that, I Just Destroyed the World, there's actually Oddity, who works a lot with Dilek.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
He actually made it sound sort of like funky and spaced out like that.
Hmm.
So it started out as like a project, and then we eventually had amassed enough material and people didn't, we just released it and surprisingly it got like a very good response, and we toured on it a little bit and everything was great.
So then do you have an actual backing band, so to speak, or is it more of a collaborative thing?
I play live, we don't play out very often, mm-hmm. but I played live when we came back from Europe, actually a couple of months ago, and the people I play with live are John, mm-hmm. Andrew on bass, and I play with Francis Mark from Autumn and Ashes.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Tierney, he's a young guitarist. They have a studio called Spaceman in Brooklyn, very good. And some Mel Lederman, too, on keyboard.
So then you do have a standard band that does back you.
I have, like, a core. And the next record, which we have, which we're working on now, is those guys and then less guests, you know, but still some great players on that.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
And can you just give us a little bit of a timeline as in terms of Made Out of Babies, Battle of Mice? You said that this sort of dropped in the middle to begin with.
This was at the end. It was like, so we were recording, Battle of Mice happened after Made Out of Babies, probably my oldest band, definitely. So they started, mm-hmm. then I got a little antsy. I wanted to work with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And Battle of Mice started. We did just the one record and an EP with Jesu. And then we did the third Made Out of Babies record. And while we were recording that third Made Out of Babies record, The Bad Wife began,
mm-hmm.
Or we started working on that material. And then, Made Out of Babies, The Ruiner came out, and then about a half a year later, The Bad Wife came out.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
How much, do you play any instruments?
I tried to play in the beginning, but I leave that to people who can do that,
mm-hmm.
because I'm I sing. That's my instrument. So
yeah.
And also, you know, when I'm on stage, I move around a lot. So.
Yes, you do. You're a little bit of a nut job on stage.
Yeah.
I have to say.
Thank you.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's what it takes to get that stuff out of my face.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think. No, I leave the instruments, playing the instruments, to the professionals, and I just kind of, I just use my voice.
So then how is the writing process? Like, do you always have to collaborate with somebody or for the music part?
Yeah, I usually have to rely on somebody who is much faster at recording than I am.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, if I have an idea, I will sing it into something.
Oh.
I do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
My phone is horrible, you know. So I sing to people. You know, I'll sit them down and sing out notes to them. I can use Reason a little bit, which is
program.
That one program, I use that kind of a little bit, but I'm slow. I'm like, you know, it's like the jitterbug version of the phone with giant buttons,
right?
And
right.
I'm not really quick.
Well, that's got to be hard then, because especially if you have something in you that you want to, that you're creating, and the sort of structural stuff is holding you up. Is it frustrating, or do you sort of have it down in terms of how you get it out of your head?
The only time that gets scary is when you think of something in the middle of the night, or on your way. Where on your way somewhere where you have to talk to people about different stuff,
right,
than what's in your head, then that's when the phone comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing is to get it out, especially if it's an idea that won't let you concentrate on anything else until you get it out. Then the phone comes out, and I sing into the phone on the street or something like that.
And people throw you change.
People throw me change or not. But most importantly is getting it onto a space where I can hear it again later. I never forget it,
mm-hmm.
once I have it out.
And what is it like for you when it comes to you?
When it comes to me?
Yeah, like when you really have, there's where that, you know, an idea pops in your head and it's like this, you have to get it out. I mean, is it? I guess I'm thinking of
it's like being attacked. You can't not do it. It's not like it's not a comfortable experience, but you just have to do it. And now it's been happening for so long that
right.
I don't know any different thing. It's, you know, that's what's normal.
Right. So you have a way of going, because I mean your lyrics and especially your presentation are so assaultive for the most part.
Thanks.
You know, yeah. And it's like, well, what happens when that assaults you alone? Like, you're like, oh God, here it comes again.
Well, I'm comfortable with being assaulted, Diane.
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
As a person, I'm attracted to things that are violent. You know,
uh-huh.
So I don't mind, like, and I'm very impulsive. So stuff like that is like just normal for
okay.
me. I mean, it does get to be like, you know, you worry that you're going to forget while somebody's talking to you about how much your groceries are or whatever. But
right.
But as long as you can move it to the side and get it down somewhere, it's fine.
Yeah. That's great. So so you said you're in the middle of recording now?
We are writing. We have about half of the new record. We've got a bunch of it demoed. I'm very excited about the next record.
Cool.
It's a little bit of a ways off because we want to do it right, but
mm-hmm.
we're working all summer, so hopefully fall or next spring. Yeah.
So, and of course, you are here as my guest, as a guest DJ.
Yes,
I want to talk about what it is that you want to play. Maybe we'll get into some music.
Okay. So when Diane, for people out there who are listening, thank you for listening, by the way. But when Diane said, you can play whatever you want, I started to think that it would be interesting to do, to sort of look at some covers back to back. So what I've gotten together are some covers that are successful and some covers that are horrible failure covers.
And Julie's going to tell me when to cut these off.
Well, I don't want to torture anybody, you know, so there
well,
are...
Wait a minute, but you said that you're fine with violence in your life, and people can...
Yeah, but there's a Britney Spears cover of I Love Rock and Roll on there, on that list, Diane. Wait till you hear that.
Which I haven't heard, and I'm curious. And yeah. So we'll
if
see.
You never wanted to punch Britney Spears in her stupid nose before, you're going to want to do it, trust me. but there's some amazing music and cover music. You know, I actually looked this up a little bit when I was thinking about doing this idea, so I would sound like I know what I was talking about.
Oh, very good.
Thank
very
you.
Good.
Thank you, homework.
Yes.
And pretty interesting. I mean, some of it is just what you think. It's like it's for commercial success. Like, so a hit gets made,
mm-hmm.
and another cover can only increase the revenue made off of the one previous
right.
song.
Sure.
So that's totally, you know, that's what you think. But I was reading about the early 20th century recording process, and because records were made and generally localized, it was almost faster for somebody to cover your song in another town, print it there, and they could sort of claim your track. It was like covers became a way to get music from place to place quickly.
Really?
Yeah. So a song would happen in one spot, and it would be printed there. But because distribution wasn't really in place and advertising wasn't around,
mm-hmm.
your song could be copied, and it could be heard before your own song was out, really.
Wow.
In just another spot. So that's pretty interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Well, so what's the first...
So the first cover, I didn't know how we were going to start the show. So the first cover is actually a cover on my own record. And I don't know if you played it, and we definitely don't have to listen to the whole thing. But the first version of this song is it's a French song. When we played this in France, I mean, everybody knows this song. It's a song from the 50s, and mm-hmm. it's a very famous French, iconic French songwriter, Jacques Brel. And everybody has covered this song. The first version of this song that I heard was a Nina Simone version. And then yeah, her version is amazing. And then I went back and listened to his version. And then we had been working on our own cover, which is very different. So in this instance, the cover is far from the original, whether you like it or not.
All right, so we're going to hear the original first.
Yeah, let's hear like a piece of it. We don't have to listen to the whole thing because you get the point kind of quickly. And then Peace of Mind, and you listeners can decide if this cover is a win or a horrible fail.
Okay, so folks, we would like to get your votes on the playlist, and if you have any comments or questions for Julie, you can also post them as well, and I'll be following along and feeding her questions. Again, my guest is Julie Christmas, and we're going to hear now a bit of Jacques Brel. Stay tuned.
Ne me quitte pas, il faut oublier, tout peut s'oublier, qui qui s'enfuit déjà, oublier le temps des malentendus et le temps perdu à savoir comment, oublier ces heures qui tuaient parfois à coup de pourquoi. Le cœur du bonheur ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas. Moi, je t'offrirai des perles de pluie venues de pays où il ne pleut pas. Je creuserai la terre jusqu'après ma mort pour couvrir ton corps d'or et de lumière. Je ferai un domaine où l'amour sera roi, où l'amour sera loi, où tu seras reine. Ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas. Ne me quitte pas, je t'inventerai des mots insensés que tu comprendras. Je te parlerai de ces amants-là qui ont vu deux fois leur cœur s'embraser. Je te raconterai l'histoire.
If you go away on that summer's day, I'll make you a day like no day has been or will be again. We'll stand on the sun and race with the rain. We'll talk with the trees and war with the wind. But if you go,
and we have returned. My guest is Julie Christmas.
Hello.
Hello. One of the listeners said, well, don't cut this one. Let this play all the way through. And, you know, a listener wants to know, what are your biggest influences?
You know, I think my biggest influences are, you know, before I sort of discovered the music that made me feel comfortable, like Jesus Lizard, I think I largely listened to, like, Louis Armstrong, lots of singers, lots of male singers. And I was kind of raised on, like, Coltrane and Mozart, like, lots of classical jazz, classical music. Not really too much. When I realized that I was, like, a screamer, which happened very early on, that I really liked screaming, I started to look for people who did that well.
And oh, nice.
I pay attention also to lyrics. So, like, when I, David Yao, you know, when I started finding David Yao, and when I heard Unsane for the first time, you know, I heard those screams, those, like, blood-curdling, you know, really, like, you could feel it. Yeah. It didn't sound pretty in any respect.
No, and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre screams.
Yes, yeah. And I think that largely, you know, when you are looking for music that makes you comfortable, you know, when I'm, as I'm looking back just from answering that question, I would say that I haven't always liked pretty singers, but I've always liked character singers. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, people who have a little bit of a story in their voice, not necessarily a flawless performance. I kind of like the cracks and the, you know, I like it when people sound wrong, you know. So, like, singers that are, you know, including really famous ones like Johnny Cash, who just kind of sing flat an entire song, but you feel everything he felt when he was singing it or wrote it, things like that. So any singer that really can put it out there, whether they're good technically or not, would be something I was attracted to.
And you said that you realized you were a screamer early on. So what was that did that come about? What was the, when did the light bulb hit?
Well, I started talking extremely early. So I've always been like vocal, and then I come from like a big drunk Irish family where everybody can play an instrument. Mm-hmm. Things get very wild, and you know, for just like a St. Patrick's Day, I watched my uncle get his face sewn back together by my father with some green thread after a bar fight. Like, things like that were pretty pretty common, you know. So I just always could make noise. I come from like a large lunged black Irish family, and I just always was making noise. But the screaming, I just really that brings something out of me. I love it.
Your voice is so, it's so distinctive, and then it's obvious that you really explore the, you know, the depth of your voice. I mean, just everything that you put into your music is just so amazing, from the whisper to the demon and, you know, everything in between. And what is that exploration like?
It's not planned out. It's just comfortable. You know, when I work with musicians, I always truly respect them. And I think, like, what I'm doing with music is bringing out something that's already in a song that I'm working on. So mm-hmm. I just like am uncovering or giving like a voice to whatever song material is in front of me. And I mean, I do write the music with the guys that I work with, but I like to sing things from different perspectives. Like there's one song where I sing from the perspective of a door hinge, and that requires an alternate sound. You can't sound like a human if you're a door hinge.
Right.
So I just kind of, you know, have to make it sound the way I think that thing should sound or that story should sound.
Well, and you're super successful at it. I mean,
thanks.
There's no way to pin you down.
Thank you. There's no way.
Did we talk about your version of the Namikite Pa?
No.
I don't know if we did, so.
We didn't. It's just a French song. I heard it. I thought it was like, really, like, I heard Nina Simone's version first. Mm-hmm. Her version is really amazing. This song is a famous French song that has been covered by a million people.
Right.
I just heard it in a different way, and so we just started working on it, and it came, you know, came out to be the way it is.
Cool.
But I think the next thing that you have is Flipper.
Yes.
And Flipper was one of those bands that when I heard it, I started feeling comfortable. You know, it felt like there were other people around kind of like me. And so this is that song, Ha Ha Ha.
So my guest is Julie Christmas. And we are, as she just said, we are going to hear Flipper next. Turn this one down, I believe. Julie, what do you think?
I think that this is one of those songs that's been covered in. You know, I was just talking to Diane, and I saw Screaming Jay actually when I was really young, and I just was sharing a story with her about how the way he broke into his set was to burst out of a coffin, which was pretty great, and in his loincloth, his leopard print loincloth, is a pretty amazing thing to see, especially when you're drinking underage in the city and, you know, out with your older sister. So that was like a pretty memorable night.
Yeah, that's an awesome story. Anything you want to say about the version of the Unsane's Ha Ha Ha?
I think that, if you have to listen to covers side by side and make your own judgment, regardless of the time that it was recorded, the like differences in technical ability, the Unsane cover is awesome, I think.
Yeah.
Because Chris Spencer's Ha 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 brings a whole nother language to the song. Love Flipper. But
the Flipper is kind of like the quaaluded.
The sound is colder.
Chalant, yeah.
Yeah.
And the Unsane one is certainly, there's an evil.
Right.
There's definitely
lurking.
An element of evil.
Yes. Evil, even. Evil. It's evil.
My guest is Julie Christmas. Do you have any tips on keeping your voice in shape? And how do you not lose your voice after several days of shows?
Okay. There's a couple things you have to do. I always warm up. You have to do that. I mean, if you're going to do a real, I don't know, you know, if you're just a screamer, then maybe you can get away with it. Or if you're just a singer, you can maybe get away with it. But if you are trying to do both, you have got to warm up for at least, you know, 5 to 10 minutes before. Usually, I was in the, you know, I used to kind of walk around the club and sort of just find an empty spot, because you don't want to do this in front of other people. So to avoid looking like a tool, and also, you know, just sort of, you know, get some time to yourself. I used to walk around the club, and then people started to think I was a prostitute.
Oh, really?
And sort of stopping. Like, and when that happens in Alabama, you find a different way to warm up. So
yeah.
So then another thing you can do is warm up face to face with a wall. That's like an old singing thing. You can really hear the sound that you're making. Warming up, doing shots definitely helps a little bit. I don't care what anybody says, it definitely helps. And also you have to not worry about it, because if you're a singer and you're really into what you're doing and you know that you have to deliver a real performance, you can't psych yourself out, and that is totally possible to do. I've done that to myself before. So the best thing that you can ever do is to not worry about it and just go do your thing.
We were talking before, and you were saying like having to sing into a phone when you get inspired and you get an idea. Any recollections of sort of that happening in public and reactions, like letting something out and people being around you?
No, I've done that a lot in public. You have to do it in public if it hits you. And no, I don't pay attention to other people. And I don't really care if anybody doesn't like what I'm doing. So
good.
They can keep walking. I don't really worry too much about that.
So nobody has needed to
call anybody?
Yeah.
No. You know, most people, they give you a strange look. But most people are, you know, cowardly. They will say something horrible on the internet, or they will, you know, like tell a story. But most people don't actually step up to your face and tell you that they're unhappy with what you're doing.
So they will Twitter and go, just walk past this crazy chick.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You right. should hear what she really sounds like. It's awful.
Right.
You know, like that kind of thing.
Oh. So thank you to Julie for coming. And Julie's been a friend of FMU for a long time.
That's right.
Yeah. And that concludes another podcast episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. More on the way. I am Diane Kamikaze. Check my Twitter and my Instagram. Handle is one word, Diane Kamikaze. Kamikaze ends with an E. On Facebook, you can find me as Diane Kamikaze Farris, Rocker for Life and Making a Difference. The full link to my index of shows and podcasts can be found on wfmu.org/playlists/DK. That's a capital D and a capital K. I'm going to be working on encore presentations, and I've got years of interviews and podcasts. So if there's something that you'd like to see reposted that you missed, please get in touch. Send me email, Diane@wfmu.org. And be sure to subscribe to the show. And if you like it, please rate it and review it. Wow. WFMU. Peer pressure. Thank you. See you next time.